Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Parenting Aces radio show on Blog Talk Radio's UR Tennis Network. I'm your host, Lisa Stone, and I'm actually coming at you from Destin, Florida today. I am here on vacation with my extended family, enjoying the gorgeous, gorgeous weather of the Florida Gulf Coast, and I really don't want to waste too much time before I bring today's guest on because we have a really interesting show and a lot of cool stuff to share with you today. Just briefly, let me tell you about Gordon Euling, who will be speaking with us today. Gordon is the owner of Court Sense Tennis Clubs in New Jersey, and he is also an investor in the latest tennis technology called PlaySight. And for those of you who have been following me on Facebook, you've seen several articles and interviews I've posted about PlaySight, interviews with Gordon. And I've talked about it a bit, too, because I got to see it in action during the NCAAs in Athens last month. So I'm really excited to bring Gordon on. I'm going to go ahead and get him on the air. He has limited time with us today, and I don't want to waste a second. So, Gordon, are you with
us? Hello. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks so much for being on the air today with us and talking about PlaySight and the future of tennis.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really excited to share all kinds of information and how we're using the technology and how I really believe it's going to change the way we coach tennis, play tennis, and learn about the game of tennis, and including other sports. I mean, we're just starting with tennis, but it's just an incredible technology. It's Israeli Air Force technology that is a game changer.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I saw it in action, and it kind of blew my mind a little bit, I have to tell you. And I am not a techno person. I'm not a coach. I'm just a tennis parent. But even I could see the potential of how this is going to impact our sport, and I think it's really exciting. Before we jump into PlaySight any deeper, if you wouldn't mind, would you just give our listeners a little bit of background on your experience in the tennis world? And I know you're a very accomplished player in your own right, so maybe talk a little bit about how you came into the sport and how you've come to be on the business side.
Yeah, I played on the tour for 9 years. I really went on the tour for the clear objective of learning as much as I could about the game, being around some of the great minds of the game, like Dr. Jim Lehrer and Jose Higueras were big influences on me while I was playing. I actually was a hockey player as a junior more than a tennis player, and got to 900 in singles and 800 in doubles, starting really, I didn't play any junior tournaments, so a lot of people thought there's no way you're going to get a world ranking, but I really, I was the real, true journeyman. And I played in 30 different countries many times, and was like a sponge to the game, learning like a junior would in many ways at an older age. So I was able to get much more intellectual about it, and I wrote a lot of things and documented and interviewed people all over the world to learn different methods of teaching and progressions and really understand how to optimize a player in physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And, you know, it's something I came to the conclusion it's very important to tackle all of them to really get the most out of your players. So then when I started Court Sense in 2002 on one indoor court, and then expanded to 4 years later to 8 courts, and then we're now up to about 36 tennis courts that we both own and some we manage. And I've always had a deep passion for sports technologies because felt like it was another way to objectively show somebody what you're trying to explain to them. You know, I think subjectively is very important, but also objectively, where, you know, sometimes a coach will say something, but you don't really truly believe it. You can see it in their eyes. They're like, oh, okay, they'll try it. But then when they see it, it's just incredible what happens. And that's where PlaySight came around, where when I was introduced to it, I have a very busy schedule. I mean, I've worked with many players, ATP players. I've been on, still am part of Novak Djokovic's team and helping him in different ways. And Christina McHale worked with since she was 12 years old. And been lucky enough to be around a lot of great players, but also just recreational players, all walks of life. And when I got introduced to PlaySight the first time, I told the person that was taking me, you know what, I have 30 minutes to see it because I really have a busy schedule, and turned out I stayed for 5 hours. And at first, I literally thought I was on candid camera, that some, you know, there's cameras kind of, they're doing a goof on me because I couldn't believe it was doing everything it was actually doing. It was the total dream that I thought would happen when I'm in my 80s that's happening now. That I would actually be able to see and subjectively so many things, whether it was distance covered around the court, whether it was, you know, how high I was hitting over the net, where I was hitting on the court, calling the lines, how fast every shot was, having access to every statistic you get at center court of the U.S. Open, but for the regular player, while also having video to back up the statistic and auto tag where there's nobody touching a button. So at the U.S. Open, when they have, you know, ShotSpot or you know, all the different technologies by IBM, there are people touching buttons saying that was an unforced error, or that was an inside-out forehand, or that was a down-the-line backhand. This, the system actually does it on its own, which is just truly remarkable and a time-saver. It doesn't disrupt flow, so you can really get into the what you're trying to convey to your player, or as a player, if you want to just see, oh, let me see my unforced errors today. All the video shows it immediately, and you get to really learn in real time. So it's something that hopefully I didn't go on and on too much there, but it's something I'm very passionate about, you know, ways of helping athletes become really maximizing their potential and then taking them through the right progressions and using tools like PlaySight, like ball machines, there's so many different tools. If you use them at the right time in the right way, it's just incredible how you can have breakthroughs that you may never have if you didn't have that tool.
Right. Well, let's back up a second for the listeners who haven't had the opportunity to see any of your TV interviews or reading the articles and don't have a clear picture of what PlaySight actually is. I did have that opportunity, but I would love to hear you describe for the listeners what a PlaySight court looks like.
Yeah, I probably should have done that earlier. I apologize. Basically, what a PlaySight court is it's 5 cameras in each court. It's a very, they could put more cameras to have it have even more information, but the purpose of PlaySight is to have a solution that anybody could use. You could put them in high schools, parks, colleges, junior facilities where it's cost effective. It's not something where it's a few $100,000 per court like some other technologies that are out there. It's $10,000 to put in a court. There's a licensing fee, and it's 5 cameras and a kiosk. And the corner cameras, so there's 4 corner cameras and then 1 from behind. The corner cameras are actually tagging events, and they actually can see what you are doing as a player, whether it's you're hitting a forehand, whether it tracks where you are in the court, the distance that you covered, actually the calories burned through an algorithm. And it also will tell you how fast the shot is and triangulate. So those 2 corner cameras go across the net, and then the other corner cameras go across the other side of the net, And it tracks everything because it has all these algorithms, and it's technology they use for the Israeli Air Force. And what the Israeli Air Force did is they created technologies for their defense, right, with airplanes. And you can only imagine a missile going 1,000 miles an hour. Well, these are tennis balls. This is like a cakewalk to them. So they're able to take on all these technologies, apply it to tennis. So you could really review everything, whether it's something mental where it's maybe decision-making on the court or it's patterns of play, it's your body language on the court, or it's footwork, how are you moving your feet in all different directions, you know, how much distance you're covering versus your opponent, or whether it's technique where you have multiple angles or you can get video and you can go frame by frame using drawing tools and then explain what you want to convey to the player. So if their hips are too open as they approach the ball, or if their arm isn't up long enough on the serve, you could show that, and then actually on top of it, you could explain it on the kiosk, and while I'm explaining everything, the thing that's just incredible is you could then put that on the cloud. Everything I'm doing and explaining to that child or that student gets uploaded on the cloud, so you get the voice of what I'm doing and everything I'm showing if I'm moving around navigating throughout the system. It's all transparent, so then when I go home, I can show my parents or review the lesson of what my coach was trying to show me, and it reinforced whatever the teachings were.
What really blew me away with it was not only does it capture video, which, okay, you know, that's been around a while, but
it
takes the information that is recorded on the cameras, and you can translate it into bar graphs, pie charts. I mean, any kind of representation of data that you can imagine is pretty much inside that kiosk and you know, comes out on the screen. And when I saw the demonstration, I was actually, it was during the NCAAs in Athens. You guys had a smart court set up in the indoor facility at University of Georgia, and I was in there with the head coach and assistant coach of the men's team from Harvard. So you can imagine, I mean, here's me, tennis mom, standing there with these brainiac tennis coaches who really understood the technological side of things. I just was wide-eyed and trying to absorb everything that everybody was saying. But the different pieces of information that are available to the player through the kiosk, and then, like you said, on the cloud, once they get home, they can pull it up on their own computer at home. It's just mind-boggling. I mean, things like you could tell it you wanted to see every forehand you hit on a break point. I mean, you can get that detailed with it.
It
was overwhelming to me. I just thought it was fascinating. So let's talk a little bit about what the applications might be for a junior player, and then let's move into college tennis and what the college coaches are saying about how they may use this technology. What are you hearing
now? Well, I mean, one thing that we did is I own a few facilities. One is Bogota Racquet Club. We have a lot of the high-performance kids that are 12 and older trained there, about 35 to 40 there. And we put in PlaySide on every court, so we have the first smart facility in the world there, which is kind of a fun thing to be able to say, because I really believe it's just great for the kids and the community, and we happen to have 55 tournaments a year there. So every weekend we have one or two tournaments, different age levels. So you can have a 9-year-old playing a green ball tournament, and for $20 for the whole tournament, they're able to get all their statistics, all their video, so whether they played 4 or 5 rounds, and they go on the cloud and they can watch it. Now, they can also go onto their profile and put the coaches they want to have see this information. So let's say you have you traveled some distance to go to a tournament, and the coach couldn't make it because of the cost, and it becomes quite expensive. After the match, immediately when you log out, your coach, who might be another part of the world, gets all the information, all the statistics on your match with video backing up the statistics, can see all the raw footage, but also can go right into the details of what he wants to see. So if it was, let's see what kind of decision-making little Jill had. Oh, my goodness, what were these unforced errors? I can't believe they did. We've been working on this. What happened, Jill? You get on the phone, explain it. Or it could be, Jill, you're doing great. I can see you really worked for, you did a lot of inside-out forehands. You worked on what you accomplished what you worked on. Good job. Now the communication is just tremendous for not only the coach but also the player to review. And, you can only imagine what that means for colleges. So if you have a 16 and under, 18 and under tournament, and you have a college coach who's at Stanford and you're playing a tournament in New Jersey, and they hear about this kid, well, you can have it uploaded to them, and they can see the statistics and then what kind of decision-making they had or what kind of player they are. Everything is so transparent, which is really exciting. Another thing that we find really exciting is the kids, when they're on the system, they're held accountable for their actions. As we know, kids can sometimes, they've been training, a really tough week. It's Thursday or Friday. They're a little tired. Their warm-up can get a little lazy. Well, you know what? They have video and statistics to show what they're doing. They have an extra sense of purpose. right, while they're warming up, thinking, oh, you know what, I'm going to try to get a 40-ball rally, you know, with heavy topspin with, you know, by the way, we're going to have RPM very soon showing revolutions per minute so you can see what kind of ball it is. So if it's a 50-mile-an-hour ball with heavy RPM, wow, you can see they're really hitting out and going for the ball. So there's so many ways for a junior to be engaged now that we just didn't have before. Now, obviously, if a coach is watching, that's another, you know, that's one way of engagement. But this is one that if you as a coach see the warm-up, hey, you know what, let's stop this warm-up. Let's look at your body language. Let's look what's going on here. Boom, immediately you have access to it, and we'll be able to go right to it. By the way, you know, Dr. Jim Lehrer is going to be creating a system for in-between points and what your body language looks like between points, which I think we all know as parents of kids, you know, that can sometimes get a little compromised. You know, we'll be able to see, are they looking like a winner, or while they're losing, are they slumped shoulders, or is their head down, is their racket down toward the ground kind of swaying around, or do they look confident even though they're losing?
Right. I think it's phenomenal. One of the things when you and I talked a couple weeks ago that you were telling me about was that coaches during practice sessions can actually program games or
yeah, we're very close to getting to that. It's something that we're working toward, and you know, the next release will have this actually. So we'll have all kinds of different types of scenarios that you can gamify the court. And as we know, the kids today, they love getting on Game Boys or their iPads to play games. Well, now they're doing physical things that will actually give them points, right? So let's say the parameters are, okay, you need to hit with certain depth. So you know, a lot of the courts now have the 60-foot lines. Well, let's say that this is the game. You have to hit past that line, and you get a point for every time you do. And the system can yell out, point Gordon or point Jill, whoever it is, and first to 11. So now, and you can put the parameters, for instance, 2 feet over the net or more, and with this depth. Every time you get it, you get a point. And every time it goes in the box, maybe it takes a point away. So you can only imagine all the different types of games that one can create, whether it's cross-court, so you're trying to get in a certain area, and every time you get recognition for putting it in that area, and the first one to do it, wins, right? Instead of it being you just won the point, it could be just target practice. It could be using the ball machine where, you know what, you're going to go short angle, cross-court, down the line, three balls. In the same, the ball machine just keeps shooting it from the same spot, but you're working on, you know, feeling the ball and what kind of percentages you get. And then you get a statistics and a whole graph showing what you accomplished.
One of the things that jumped out at me when you were explaining that piece of it is that a lot of parents, I think, will agree with me that if a coach isn't traveling to tournaments and isn't seeing the child actually compete in tournament play, that it's very difficult as the parent to fully convey the differences in how the child conducts him or herself on the court in practice versus play when they get in those pressure situations. And so what I thought was so amazing about this ability to program these games in is it turns practice sessions into pressure situations. And
absolutely,
it more closely emulates what the child's going to face during a tournament match. And to me, that's invaluable because even in playing practice matches, they don't feel that pressure of, you know, and my ranking.
There's no question that your heart rate starts going up when you know that you're held accountable, and that's what happens in a tournament. You're held accountable. You win or you lose. In practice, but if you know that you're trying to, let's say we're going to even have leaderboards, and we have it in one of the facilities actually now, where you have a leaderboard in your club. Who had the fastest serve in your club? Who had the longest rally with at 60 miles an hour average speed and more in your club? Who had, you know, all these different statistics that you can that quantify what you're doing on the court? So you have a leaderboard, top 10 that are 12 and under, top 10 that are 14 under, top 10 men's open, women's open. And you have that in your club, in your state, in your country, and then the whole world. And every week it's a new slate, for instance. Or you have an all-time high. Who had the biggest serve on a play site court in the world ever? Let's say Andy Roddick got on there and he, you know, did one at 145 miles an hour. He would be the leader, and somebody else is trying to beat that. Or you have who had the biggest serve as a 12-year-old, and then you also have the video that actually shows it. So I mean, it's remarkable how you can engage a player when you have statistics to quantify what they're doing with video that back it up. You can actually see how they did it.
So how many courts do y'all have this technology on around the U.S. right now?
Yeah, we put 7 in at Bogota Racquet Club, 2 at Tenafly Racquet Club, which is 7 miles away, and both facilities happen to be about 25 minutes from New York City. And then we have 1 in a private court in Alpine, which is 2 miles from there. So we have 10 there, and total we have 35 in the world, and I think it's about 20 in the East Coast. And, you know, so we have Stefan Edberg has one at his academy. Sven Groenfeld, who's now coaching Maria Sharapova, has one at his facility. Roland Garros has one in one of their indoor courts, and I think they're going to be getting many more. Wimbledon has one as well. So it's really starting to get some traction. We just did this fundraising. We raised $3.5 million that we closed about a couple months ago. So we're now finally able to communicate to the world, hey, look what we have here. And, you know, obviously having investors like Novak Djokovic, Billie Jean King, Mark Eind, who owns the Washington Castles, the team World Team Tennis in Washington, D.C., and Bill Ackman, who's a big tennis fan and very successful businessman, and Dr. Jim Lehrer is an investor. I'm an investor. So we really have a lot of people that have influence in the game on both the business and tennis side, which, you know, we're excited about, because, you know, ultimately if we can get people playing better tennis and learn and getting more excited about the game, I think it's a win-win for everybody.
Sure. So for parents listening to this, if they wanted to go back to their child's coach or academy owner and share this information and put them, you know, kind of get them started on a track towards installing PlaySight courts at their facility, what would that look like? Who would they talk to? How would they get access?
Yeah, they'd get on at PlaySight.com, and then there's a place where you can contact PlaySight, and there's the GM in the United States is Yuval, and he's great, and we have another Eduardo. They're both in New Jersey, and that's their U.S. location, and we have, I think, one going in Hawaii shortly, in California a couple, in Florida. You know, obviously they go outdoors as well. And, it's something that we're really, you know, putting a nice team together that, to install it, by the way, it takes about 3 hours to install. The facility is responsible for pre-wiring it, but you just need to have wires hooked, going toward the kiosk in 5 locations. You get an electrician to do that in half a day. So it's really easy to install. And then from Israel, they're able to make sure it's all operating properly once the cameras are in. And it's really easy. It constantly recalibrates every, I think, 10 seconds. It recalibrates. So, you know, if it were to move the camera, it recalibrates, knows where the lines are. I mean, there's so much artificial intelligence that's just remarkable.
Yeah, it's kind of Space Odyssey to me. But
Imagine somebody, let's say they had a match and their first serve percentage was very low, or I noticed that only 5% of their serves were short wide. Well, that's not good. You want to spread out where you're serving. Well, then I could have a kid, and in the Northeast, you know, court time's quite expensive. So before school starts, for instance, if the kid's really motivated, they can go on their own on the PlaySight court at 6:30 in the morning, and they can work on their serve for 20 minutes on that short wide serve and then see what their percentage is. And then the coach sees it, hey, you know, Jill, you did great today. Look at that. Your percentage is much higher in your practice. Good job. Well, now they're getting recognition. They're getting feedback. They're able to see statistics. I mean, you're doing something that's pretty mundane normally. You get quite engaged because you have a goal, and you're getting recognized for whether you did it well or you didn't do it well. If you didn't do well, you got to keep working on it.
Right, right. And one of the concerns I had, and I think I shared this with you as well, is, you know, it's amazing what this technology is capturing, the amount of data that it captures and spits back out. But seeing the data and understanding what to do with the data are two very different things. And I know for me, like, you know, if somebody's standing there explaining to me what these numbers mean that I'm looking at, I can follow along. But if I'm just there by myself looking at it, I'm like, I'm not really sure what I'm supposed to be gleaning from this.
Listen, we have players that are recreational players that they use the system mostly just to see how many yards they ran throughout their practice. They want to make sure they ran 1,000 yards, and then they've done it. Just like you go on a treadmill and you say, hey, I want to run, you know, 4 miles. I got it done. So you could get whatever you want out of it. So if it's something you want to see technically, boom, you're able to go frame by frame. If you want to, you say, you know what, I got this insight from my coach, or I watched John McEnroe in his commentating, and he was talking about how this statistic was so important, you could then just say, I want to pull that out of it. So it's really, you know, you definitely don't want to have analysis through paralysis, and that could happen to people if they overanalyze. And you really want to go use the system for what you're looking to get out of it. So I always recommend, you know, the way we teach tennis at Court Sense is, and actually USTA as well, which we helped develop with the USTA, the whole concept of the most important part of the game is your mind, second is your feet, and third is your hands and the way you transfer energy. And we teach the exact opposite way. We first, you know, take a young player or even somebody who's quite experienced, make sure their grips are in line, they're transferring energy properly, they're moving their feet in all the directions properly, and, you know, there's no holes in their movement where they don't recover properly or they're not crossing over when they should be more of an open stance, whatever it might be. And then decision making. Are they making the proper decisions, you know, around the court? Are their patterns really make sense for the surface they're on, the way they play, and the variations the variations of plays and you know, their breathing techniques and rituals and all these things? Well, all that I just explained, that should be one of all those should be the purpose of your practice in general. You don't want to take on all those concepts in a practice or in a match. And especially in a match, you just want to be in flow and just play. But if you're working on something, what am I working on? Am I working on my technique? Am I working on my footwork? Am I working on my decision-making? Or, you know, how I'm executing? Like, oh, I had, 83% of my forehands went in. Well, that's not too great, maybe, right? I want to have a higher percentage. That means I got to play a little safer. Or, you know, I got 100% of my forehands in. Well, you know what? I could probably take a little bit more risk because I was being too conservative, right? So it really is whatever you want to take out of the system, it's there for you to take, right? It's not to try to, you know, shove all this information all at once into your brain, right? And that's where a good coach will help lead you. But also, if you're just using it by yourself, it could be, I'm curious, how many unforced errors do I have today? Or I'm curious, what was my first serve percentage? And I, you know, today wow, it was so low. I had 30% my first serve percentage. Next time I play, that's all I want to get out of the system. I want to have a high first serve percentage. And maybe I want to see what kind of distance I covered. Well, does that make sense?
It totally does. And one of the things that we've talked about on Parenting Aces on the website and on the radio show over and over and over again is the responsibility of the junior coaches to communicate to the parents who are the ones sitting at the tournaments watching the matches what specifically they've been working on with the child and what the parents should be looking for. Because
listen, what I love about this system is it makes us as coaches and as a facility more accountable. And
right.
What can happen to a lot of facilities or coaches, they kind of, you know, they're not as on it as they could be. This might expose coaches that are not doing what they should be doing, which as a parent, I'm a parent of two kids. I got a six-year-old. I want to make sure that my child is engaged and is focused on a goal at all times. And if I can quantify how they're doing at that, perfect. If I could have a communication now where the coaches, it's a triangle, right? It's the parent, yeah, coach, and player. They all are just as important, especially in the earlier stages of development. You know, as you get to more, 16s, 18s, college tennis, the parent is much more of a support system, but not as engaged because, you know, hopefully that player is becoming more independent. And they're figuring things out, and they're telling the coach a little bit, you know, this is what I'm not feeling, and I need this, I need that. If somebody's really being trained properly, that's how we see it, at least. We're trying to create independence in the player where they start telling us what they need, not us telling them what they need. You know, and obviously, I have a six-year-old. I tell him he has to eat his vegetables. Hopefully, by the time he's 17, 18 years old, he's saying, hey, I need some vegetables now because I want that in my diet. You know, hopefully. Who knows?
Right. But, I mean, I guess my point is that, you know, because the goal of Parenting Aces is to help all of us tennis parents do a better job at being tennis parents, that one of the things that I really see, one of the values I really see with PlaySight is if we as parents are watching our child at a tournament with the idea that they've been working on a specific either tactic or, you know, between points ritual or whatever it is, and our job that day watching them play is to track that behavior, that stroke, that...
You're not going to need to do that anymore.
Right, if they're playing on...
It's all tracked.
Right, right. If they're playing on a PlaySight court. But if they're not, if they've been training on the PlaySight court and they know how they're doing, and then we can then report back how that's translating into match play if they're on a non-PlaySight court, I think it takes a lot of pressure off of us as parents. It takes the win-loss thing out of it and gives us something very specific to look for.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, okay. So I know you've spoken with a lot of college coaches, or you guys have, and that there are some very interested coaches talking with you about installing PlaySight. How does the use of PlaySight change for a college player versus a junior?
Well, I mean, as a college player, you're more sophisticated, right? So you're probably going to be looking more, hopefully, you're more developed and you're focused more on your footwork and the mental aspects of the game, right? So it could be decision-making, how you're executing. But there could be times where it's more of a preseason period that you could be doing some technical analysis. But I think you're going to be using it very similarly. You know, even Novak Djokovic, when he goes on it, he's maybe looking at his technique, his rhythm on his serve. Or he might be looking at how he's striking the ball. Or, you know what, my movement on this direction, I need to work on that. I want to maybe do some more live hitting cross courts on this. Right, so what happens, imagine... If you have it at a college, all six courts are covered with a PlaySight court. You can now quantify objectively what happened in the match. So what with a college coach, if you have one coach and an assistant, they can't cover all six courts. But if somebody had a great match and have it all documented with their statistics and video to back it up, not only is it great for the coach to see because he couldn't see the whole match to reinforce what they're doing well, but it also can give a lot of confidence to the player to review it after. And if they play him again next year or a few weeks later, they could go to the match. Boom, you have it. It's not just a video. It's kind of saying, oh, this is what I did well. This is what my opponent didn't do well because of what I did. It really gives a clean picture of what happened.
So I know
there are some college coaches that will have players or some of the other players that are not on the team do some stats on a match or whatever it is, but this is doing it like you're at the U.S. Open. I could pull up all the unforced errors immediately on the match. To me as a coach, I would love to see that and all the winners. Boom. Right away, that's one thing that I'd like to see. Now, what kind of risk were you taking? And were you making bad decisions on your unforced errors? Or were you making great decisions but you just didn't execute? You know what? You made great decisions, so let's work on executing. Let's drill now that ball that I could see there were six unforced errors that were short forehand. Well, let's work on it.
Right, right. And I mean, using it for scouting opponents, too, right? I mean,
no question. Absolutely. So you can see, for sure. So if you played a player, and let's say another one of your players is playing them in a tournament, you could go back to that match and see what they're, oh, wow, they had a lot of enforced errors. That's good to know. Or, you know, wow, they hit a lot of winners inside out. I could see it. Well, you got to be careful with that. Let's play a match that we don't give them that kind of strength, right?
Right, right. Okay, so what's the goal here? I mean, obviously you're a businessman, and the more PlaySight courts there are, the better for you as an investor.
Yeah,
but...
I'm wearing two hats. I mean, to be honest, my biggest thing is to do whatever I can for the sport of tennis, because it's been an incredible thing for me. I love it with what it could do for players learning about themselves. It's really a vehicle to help people. The game tennis. Now, I get involved in investments that I feel can really make change. I'm a little bit different than many where, oh, I can make a lot of money. That's not the first thing that comes to mind. But I look at, can it really do deep change? Can it make a difference in our community, our sport? Can it get people enthusiastic? If it does all those things, I'm in, despite whether it can make money. I happen to think that this could make a good amount of money as well, which is an added bonus. And by the way, if it makes a lot of money, I'm going to be putting it right back into scholarships for kids. So that's where I'm coming from in terms of, you know, growing the game and really trying to help the game evolve.
And so for this, you know, video game generation of kids that we have, and I'm in a house full of kids right now at the beach, and we have an Xbox here, and everybody's got an iPad, and
yep.
It's crazy. So we know that's their reality, and it's not going away anytime soon. So do you see this as an opportunity for the sport as a whole to do what USTA keeps talking about in terms of attracting the top athletes, not just top tennis players, but top athletes to our game?
Absolutely. I mean, anything that I mean, what do human beings love to do? They love to have goals. They love to see how they've improved. So if you create a marker and you see where you are, where you stand now, and wow, I improved through my effort, that's a good feeling. It gives you a sense of accomplishment. So right now, traditionally, when we go to a tennis place, a tennis academy, it's based on, or you're working your tennis, it's whether you won or you lost, where you get the recognition, which is a pretty tough thing to do, especially if you're trying to develop a junior who's 12 years old to play like a pro in the future, a high-level college player. You know, they may be doing the right things and losing versus the one that's not doing, is, you know, the right things, and they're winning because they're lobbying or, you know, as we know. Well, all of a sudden we can now objectively take things out of a system like this and really give a pat in the back saying, you're doing great, and this is why. You know, Novak Djokovic just did these 60 balls, and he was able to put it in this target area. Out of the 60, he got 55 that went in. You just got 50 that went in the same target area as Novak Djokovic. Good job. Well, that gets a kid inspired, right? Like, hey, I'm on the right path. I'm working on things. Well, I mean, how could you not want to have that when you're developing players where you can show them their improvement over time? I mean, right. I think it's just a winner.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think it's amazing. I will say one of the challenges that I see, and it's just because where my son trains is in a county-owned park. So for a county or, you know, another government entity to allocate funds for something like this, I think is going to be a tough sell.
You know what I'm hoping, and maybe I'm a dreamer, but I really believe it could happen. As this gets critical mass, and if you have a few hundred, a few thousand that are around the world, all of a sudden some of these bigger corporations like American Express or these bigger companies, I could see them saying, hey, we want to put our you know, logo on the kiosk, and we'll support this. You know, and you all of a sudden get some people in the community that want to get behind it. And, you know, there are many ways of getting it out there. And as we know, the cost of the hardware, it's getting less and less. I mean, you know, computers or a flat-screen TV that was $3,000 in the past, they get for $500 now. Right? So
right.
The costs are getting driven lower. And I believe that, you know, as it gets out there, there'll be some sponsorship opportunities where companies will see value. They'll want to go into the grassroots. Or maybe the USTA has you know, money where they say, you know what, we see how we're getting a lot of value out of this. We want to put this into the parks. So the kids are getting better. You know, I see it going that direction potentially. We first need to get the colleges really embracing it, which I think when a couple do, you know, it's going to be a little bit as if I'm trying to recruit a player to not have it, it's a distinct advantage having a tool like this, right?
Absolutely.
To recruit with and also to help somebody get better. So if I'm going to college, you don't have it, I'm going to say, you know what? I think I want to go to that college that does have it. I'm going to get better. My parents can see, my grandparents can see my matches. After the fact, see all the statistics. You know, I could go through social media. I could brag about how I, you know, my match point. Look what happened. You know, or whatever it is. I mean, there's a you're dealing with human beings that really like to get recognized, right? And also to work towards something. So knowing all that and the philanthropy that's out there, and also just the momentum you can get, I think, could be quite good.
Yeah, and so for people listening, I hope you guys will keep that in mind, that there could potentially be sponsorship opportunities with this, and and, you know, opportunities for businesses in the community to give back to the tennis playing community by sponsoring the purchase of PlaySite and the installation of it. I think that's a great idea. I would love to see that happen in more public facilities, you know, around the country. I think it would be amazing.
Yep.
Okay, so I know you've only got a couple more minutes with us, so tell me what else we need to know about PlaySite. What have I forgotten? What have I left out? Where is it going, and where are we?
Yeah, I mean, I think another thing that's exciting about it, I know this is a show based on tennis, but the same technology and algorithms could be applied to soccer, basketball, baseball, and it's something that, you know, once tennis, they really get the groundswell going with tennis, that they're going to pursue all the other sports. So I think it's just a great tool to engage players and to communicate higher learning. You know, it's a system that's really going to make a difference. It's not one of these things. And video, as we know, already makes a big difference. But when you have multiple angles, you're able to show. I mean, one thing we didn't mention is the 3D thing that they have, the five different angles where it's like an avatar or a simulation of what happened, where it shows what the player did on the court, where it actually hit on the ground. So you can see all the forehands, it's one color, all the backhands is another color, and where the tendencies were those balls hit throughout your match. So, I mean, to get these kind of insights, you just don't get that as an everyday player. And by the way, the pros don't even get it unless they're playing at center court at the U.S. Open. So a pro is practicing and working on their game. They don't even have it until now. So what's truly remarkable is that, and we have it, 7 or 8 year old kids are using the system on their own like they use an iPhone. You get on the kiosk. We even have a little bent stool. You get on the stool to stand on it because you're, you know, a little short, and they get on, they log in, and it just does it on its own. Everything happens on its own. So there's nothing where, oh, I forgot to touch this, or you can't mess it up. And then you get online, and it gives you a highlight reel after your match. Let's say you played a two-and-a-half-hour epic match. It gives you a highlight reel with the music in the background, many different songs in the background, and it'll show you your biggest forehand, your biggest backhand, miles per hour, in the very near future, RPM. It'll show you the longest rally that you won, the longest rally that you lost, and then your biggest serve and all your aces. Highlight reel.
Yeah,
I mean, how cool is that?
Okay.
On its own. To edit
right.
That would take, you know, that'd take half an hour, 45 minutes. Nobody would do it. But it figures it out. It does it on its own.
And I totally forgot about that piece of it because that was something that you've all showed me in Athens. And, I mean, as a parent who has been editing video lately,
oh my goodness,
coaches, I can tell you this would be so, so awesome to be able to just pull this up and shoot it off to the college coaches and say, here's how this match looked. Here's what I did really well.
Here's complete transparency. This is my weaknesses. So if I come to your school, it's going to work on. But guess what? I've got a huge serve, a huge forehand. Yeah, you could see I had some unforced errors in my backhand. My decision-making was a little bit, you know, could be better. But now the coach knows what they're dealing with.
Right. And
what they're recruiting.
Yeah, again, as a parent having to edit stuff like that now, I would appreciate that so much. It would save me hours. You were generous in saying 30 to 45 minutes. It takes me
exactly.
Way longer than that.
Yeah.
So are you going to have PlaySite courts at the Open this year? For people that are making the trip to New York,
we're working on that. We're hoping to put one in the city, so people would also be able to, you know, a lot of people, players and coaches are staying in the city, so they demo it there. And we're hoping the USTA gives us some space. I think we're working on that now.
Cool.
You know, worst case scenario, we're 25 minutes from the U.S. Open. So anybody listening and they want to come by, you know, they can go on our website at courtsense.com, and then reach out to one of our locations. All of our locations have PlaySite courts. We'd be happy to show it.
Well, I will be one of those reaching out. I will definitely come take a peek. I would love to see it in action. I saw the after the fact, you know, I saw it at the kiosk, but I would love to see players on the court. And
yeah, it's fun when you go on the court and you go to serve and it calls out right after, you know, it says 89 miles per hour. It yells out the computer as you do it, right after you serve. And then it says if it was, you know, an inch out, it yells out, right? So you're getting immediate feedback from a computer, and these algorithms spit out so quickly that, I mean, it's mind-boggling.
Yeah, that's great.
Again, I heard about this about a year and a half ago, And I felt like it was so futuristic, I didn't believe it. I said, ah, oh, yeah, right. You know, this it can't be that good. Well, trust me, it is.
Yeah, it is. And your enthusiasm for it comes through loud and clear. I mean, I can feel your excitement over it, and I think it's really cool. And again, having seen, you know, the kiosk myself, I will say it's the coolest thing I've ever seen in terms of what tennis has to offer and where tennis is going. I mean, I really do feel like this is the future of our sport.
Well,
and
that's another thing that I took a little personally when I saw that it's what is it, boxing and then tennis is the lowest on the totem pole for using technology in sports. So it's boxing is last, tennis internationally is second to last. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I mean, why wouldn't we use things that can, I mean, Olympians are using all these things. That's how records are being broken all the time. How is that not happening in our sport? Like in golf, they have all these simulators and video angles and swing speed and all the, well, in tennis, we're now coming up with a very cost-effective way of showing this or having a player use this. I mean, something like this in the past would be hundreds of thousands of dollars on a court. I mean, I even know, like, Kim Clijsters, her academy, put in, I'm totally blanking on the name of the Hawkeye, put in Hawkeye in her facility. It cost her, I think, close to $200,000 to put on one court. They have to have an operator, and they have a special room that looks over the court with the operator there to use it.
Wow.
Well, and PlaySight is giving so much more information than that was given. So it's
right.
Like, oh, my goodness, that becomes very tough to justify. But for $10,000, and then you have a licensing fee, depending on how many courts you do, but it comes down to really $15 to $25 a day, which you charge an extra $15 for a lesson, you pay it off, you know, within, you know, one lesson a day. Or if
right.
you put in your academy, and you just have a better academy, and your players are getting better, and you have more people coming because it's in your academy, well, you pay it off quite quickly. That's
sure.
how we justified it. And then with tournaments, wow, I mean, you have 120 kids, and we had multiple times the same age level. We have 120 kids come. Guess how many signed up for PlaySight? Like fifth time, sixth time. 117 out of 120 at 20
yeah.
bucks a pop. Well, you do the math, it works quite nicely.
Yeah. Yeah, you can make your money back pretty easily with it.
For 20 bucks, you're getting something. In the past, we set up all these cameras because we have a lot of technology, right? We set up all these cameras. It would be, I think we charged $30 for a DVD. We had to have our front desk burn the DVD, label it. So there was time there. And you only got a DVD of raw footage of your match, 30 bucks per match. Well, now we're saying $20 for all your matches, statistics behind it. I mean, you're crazy not to do it if you want to improve.
Right, right, for sure, for sure. Well, Gordon, thank you so much for coming on today. I know you're crazy busy, and
no,
I really...
No problem. My pleasure.
Is coming out and seeing it in action at your facilities when
That'd
I'm up
great.
There. So, and I'm hoping to get you guys down to Atlanta. We've got a facility that's interested in doing a demo, and I think it would be really cool. So,
yeah, I would love to do that.
Cool. Awesome. Well, thank you
All
again.
Right.
And,
well, thank you.
Seeing you in a few weeks.
All right. Very good. Take care.
You too.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. So, my listeners, I hope y'all are as intrigued by PlaySight as I am. I can tell you again, having seen it in action, it's a phenomenal tool, and I'm really hoping that, as Gordon mentioned, that the cost will continue to come down so that more and more facilities can install it. But even at the current $10,000 installation price, it's something that you can make your money back on so quickly just by charging an extra $10, $15 per use of the court. I think the facilities will make their money back very quickly. So I want to encourage all of you to take a look at PlaySight.com, and there are some great video demonstrations on their website. There are links to TV interviews that Gordon's done and some print media on the technology and where it's heading. I feel like it's an open opportunity for us as parents to help grow our game and for the coaches out there to take their coaching to the next level. It gives them a tool to really improve what they're able to do with a player during their limited time. during lessons or during private lessons and really maximize the time, or maybe even leading to shorter practices for our kids that are more efficient and that the kids get more out of it and are doing less damage to their bodies in the process because they don't have to be in court quite as long to accomplish the same goals. So I really hope you guys will all take a look at it. I also, just shifting gears a little bit, this is my vacation week. So I'm down in Florida with my family. And I wanted to let you know that starting next week, the ITA Summer Circuit events are going to be happening at various college campuses around the country. We are actually going straight from Destin, Florida to Tallahassee, Florida, so my son can play at Florida State University in the ITA Summer Circuit there. But there are tournaments happening all over the country. So if you have a high school player or a child who just graduated from high school or a child who's currently in college, these ITA Summer Circuit events are really fun for them. They're great competition. They get some incredible matches. And they're played on college campuses, so you kind of can kill two birds with one stone if you're at that recruiting place where you're out looking at schools and trying to meet coaches. It's a great opportunity for that. So I hope you guys will all take a look at that. After the FSU tournament, we are making our way down to Delray Beach for the National Clay Courts. And for those of you who have been following on ParentingAces.com, you know there's been quite a lot of controversy over the player selections for this year's clay courts under the new 2014 rules. So I hope you will continue to follow me on ParentingAces.com. And if you are taking your child to National Plays, that you'll let me know how your experience is, what type of competition, especially for those of you who have gone in previous years. For us, this is my son's first time to get to play this event, so we really don't have much to compare it to. But for those of you who are more experienced in that arena, I would sure love your insights on how this year's event compares to previous years, in terms of the competition level, in terms of the organization of the tournament, what it's like having a smaller draw size, how qualies were managed, if for those of you in 16s and 18s. I would love to hear your experiences. So please, please shoot me an email, lisa@parentingaces.com, and let me know how that goes. Or you can always comment on the website, and I'll do a follow-up piece once that's done. So I'm trying to think what else is going on in the world of junior tennis right now. Of course, Junior Wimbledon started this week. Colette Lewis of Zoo Tennis is there. They're having horrid, horrid weather in London right now, so many of the junior matches are getting canceled, postponed. It's been kind of a nightmare. But one of our young American players, Noah Rubin, did win his first match today, so congrats to Noah. Congrats to his mama, Melanie, who is one of my sidekicks, and I'm glad he's having a good start to his Wimbledon this year. I hope you guys are all following that. If you don't follow Zoo Tennis on Twitter, you can go to her website. It's just zootennis.com, and you can sign up to get an email alert when her new articles are posted. But Colette does an amazing job covering these tournaments, and she is there in person this year, so I'm sure her coverage will be even more spectacular. And I'm trying to think if there's anything else I need to share with y'all. I don't think so. If there's anything you guys want to have me discuss or any guests that you would like to hear on Parenting Aces Radio, please let me know. I have another great show coming for you next week. Jorge Capistani is going to be on, and he has done a series of free videos for players, for parents, for coaches, on the mental and the technical side of tennis, and so he's going to share with us a little more of his philosophy and why he has chosen to make his vast amounts of knowledge available free of charge online. So tune in next Monday for that. And have a great week, everybody. I'm going to be soaking up the Florida sun and reading lots of books that are not tennis related and expanding my mind a little bit outside of tennis. So I hope the rest of you have a great week. And for those playing tournaments this week, good luck. Happy travels. Happy 4th of July. Be safe with the fireworks. And I will see you next week on Parenting Aces.